Good morning, church. Buenos dias, iglesia. It's good to be here again in the house of the Lord. Today I want to discuss how to avoid the Judas complex. And in case you don't know who Judas is, he's the man who betrayed Jesus. I did a complex series regarding Herod, the man who had a difficult time with Christ's birth. So Herod had a difficult time with Christ in the beginning, and Judas had a difficult time with Christ at the end of his life. But both had one thing in common. They both wanted to get rid of Jesus. And that is a very dangerous complex for us. I pray that we as Christians are not trying to get rid of Jesus in our lives. Even if we don't believe in Christ, I pray we are not trying to get rid of Christ in our lives. It's very dangerous because Christ is the only person that can save us. Herod was bothered by the knowledge of Jesus. He couldn't stand hearing about Jesus. That was part of his complex. Herod also was focused on himself. He recognized if he gave praise to Jesus, it would take away praise from himself. Also a Herod complex. As a result, Herod ended up hurting people, not healing people. And that is the ultimate result of our lives, if not living for Jesus, we are people who are going to hurt people around us and not heal people around us. But today, let's focus on the Judas complex and what he did. What makes a man betray Christ? When I think about the idea of walking around with Jesus Christ, I don't even know how I can even imagine hurting this individual, betraying him, being disappointed with Jesus. And yet Judas, in his mind, got to that place. I want to look at how Judas got there. And that way, perhaps we can see how we can avoid getting anywhere near being like Judas. Number one, Judas had little sins in his life. He was doing things wrong that we would say are kind of wrong, that they weren't that bad, we would say. Little knowing that little things lead to big things. Little sins lead to big sins. Be very, very careful about the little sins in our lives. The things that we say, no one knows is happening. It's all to myself. It's hurting nobody. Be very careful about those things because those sins, in God's eyes, are just as important as the big sins. Yes, little sins have maybe smaller consequences on the earth. But spiritually, they're the very same thing as big sins. And so, just as easily as we do little sins, we will end up doing the big sins. Because Judas did not begin as a betrayer. He didn't just walk in to betray Christ. No, in the beginning, he was simply a thief. John 12, 1 through 8 talks more about Judas, his mindset. He wasn't good in the smallest things either, which led to bigger things. John 12, 1 through 8 says about his attitude. Jesus, therefore, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So they made him a supper there, and Martha was serving, but Lazarus was one of those reclining at a table with him. Mary then took a pound of very costly perfume, a pure nard, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. A beautiful act. A beautiful deed. Who could get mad at that? Well, Judas can get mad at that. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, who was intending to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and given to poor people?" Now, he said this not because he was concerned about the poor, but because he was a thief. And as he had the money box, he used to pilfer what was put into it. He only pilfered. He only took a little bit out of it. He was just a small-time thief, not a big deal. But this very same Judas eventually was open to be a betrayer to Jesus. Luke 22, 1 through 6. Luke 22, 1 through 6 has one of the scariest verses in the entire Bible, in my opinion. Because it will say that at some point, Satan began to work in Judas. At some point, Judas was wide open to Satan's influence. I like to think that as a Christian, I have protection against Satan. But if I'm doing little sins in my life, if I'm not taking care of the little things, I'm wide open to Satan and his plan to do big things in my life, big bad things in my life. Luke 22, beginning in verse 1. Now the feast of unleavened bread, which is called the Passover, was approaching. The chief priests and the scribes were seeking how they might put him to death, for they were afraid of the people. And here's the scary verse. And Satan entered into Judas, who was called Iscariot, belonging to the number of the 12. How did this happen? It's because Judas was not good in the small things. He was wide open to Satan's influence. And verse 4, he went away and discussed with the chief priests and the officers how he might betray him to them. They were glad and agreed to give him money. So he consented and began seeking a good opportunity to betray him to them apart from the crowd. Please, I ask Christians today, do the little things right, the secret things, the things nobody sees, the things that don't matter. Yes, even do those things right. Because again, spiritually, they're not little at all. In the mind of Christ, in the mind of God, it's the same exact thing. Don't deceive yourself into thinking there are little sins or big sins in reality. Luke 16, verse 10 is quite clear. Luke 16, verse 10, in the middle of a parable where it says, he who is faithful in a very little thing is faithful also in much. And he who is unrighteous in a very little thing is unrighteous also in much. We don't become good people by ignoring little good things. And we don't become bad people. We become bad people by doing the little bad things. Please remember, this is how Judas became who he was, who he became, a betrayer of the Son of God, by doing the little things wrong. I pray we also are not robbing God. We may say, I'm not a thief, I'm not stealing money, but please understand, our entire lives belong to God. Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. He purchased us with his blood. And so we have an obligation to give our life to God. If there is a second, if there is a minute, if there is a month or a year of sin, that is robbing God of our lives. We are taking away from God what is owed to him, our very lives, our praise, our dedication, a good word, a good act. If at any time period a bad word comes out of our mouths, we are robbing God of a good word deserving to him. So please, let us not rob God and be like Judas Iscariot, who eventually would become a man who betrayed the Son of God. Number 2, about his mind, how he became who he was today. Judas wanted God and Christ to follow his will, not God's will. Judas wanted Jesus to follow his will, not God's will. Sometimes in our desire to have a personal Jesus, we may want to have Jesus do what we want him to do. Jesus Christ is not here for our sports teams. Jesus Christ is not here for our desires. And Jesus Christ is not here for our politics. Unfortunately, Judas Iscariot, I'll get into this right now, was very political, I believe. Very much into these kind of things. And he was disappointed that Christ was not. Jesus Christ made it very clear, this kingdom, my kingdom, is not of the earth. Hence, all the stuff going on at that time period, Rome, Judaism, Israel. At that time, Israel was a vassal state, was a state of Rome, and hence had to pay Rome taxes. And people in Israel couldn't stand that. They wanted Christ to overcome Rome for Israel. And so, when Christ did not do that, because he is spiritually minded, heavenly minded, people began to be disappointed with Christ. You see, there are people who wanted Christ to fit into their politics. Be very careful about wanting Christ to fit into anything of our lives. Our job is to fit into Christ's life. Our job is to fit into Christ's point of view. It's so dangerous to try to fit Christ into our world, into our ideas. Judas, his last name was Iscariot. Judas Iscariot. It may be very true that he was also, that name means a dagger man, the Sicarii. These were a group of people who were anti-Rome. that wanted to overcome Rome in the name of Israel, Judas may as well have been a very political individual. The question is, why was Judas so angry at Jesus Christ? Why did he betray Christ? It may have been because he was disappointed in Christ. It turns out Christ was focused on heaven, not Rome. And evidence shows, I believe, Judas was very, very political and wanted Christ to get involved with this. Look at John 13, 21 to 27. John 13, 21 to 27. Politics is a big deal. Race is a big deal. Money is a big deal. Culture is a big deal. But please understand, Jesus Christ is a bigger deal than all of those things. Let's not take Christ and warp him into these ideas. No matter how big of a deal they are, Christ is more important. John 13, we see what I believe is a time when Judas had enough. This man, he felt Christ was a failure. He's not what I wanted him to be. John 13, 21, when Jesus had said this, he became troubled in spirit and testified and said, "Truly, truly, I say to you that one of you will betray me." The disciples began looking at one another at a loss to know of which one he was speaking. There was reclining on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. So Simon Peter gestured to him and said to him, "Tell us who it is of whom he is speaking." He, leaning back thus on Jesus' bosom, said to him, "Lord, who is it?" Jesus then answered, "That is the one who shall dip the morsel and give it to him." So when he had dipped the morsel, he took it and gave it to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. After the morsel, Satan then entered into him. Again, a scary verse. Therefore, Jesus said to him, "What you do, do quickly." Why did it happen then? This is right after Christ said, "I have come to die." The real meaning of the Passover is that I have come to die and overcome these things. Think of me. Remember me. When you partake of the Lord's Supper, think of my death. At that point, Judas realized, this man is not here to conquer. This man is here to die. He's a failure. I'm angry. I'm going to betray him. I pray all of us understand exactly why Christ came to earth. There are so many things around Christianity that we do that are important, that are great. But Christ came to earth to die for our sins and bring us to heaven. Outside of that, we are adding to what he came for. Outside of that, we may be making him what we want him to be. This is called being zealous about God, but not having knowledge about God. Being very, very passionate about Jesus, but forgetting why Christ came. Romans 10, 1-3 talks about this. There are people today who are very passionate about Christ in sports. Very passionate about Christ in race. Very passionate about Christ in politics. This is called a false zeal. Christ came to die for our sins and bring us to heaven. Romans 10, 1-3, please avoid this. Brethren, my heart's desire and my prayer to God for them is for their salvation. For I testify about them. He's talking about political Jewish people who thought he was there to overcome Israel. Okay, he's talking about people who were false zeal. For I testify about them that they have a zeal for God, but not in accordance with knowledge. For not knowing about God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own. That's the problem. If we're not finding God's righteousness, we're making our own righteousness. They did not subject themselves to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Please be careful to find the righteousness of God, not ourselves, not what we think God is. And Judas, unfortunately, could not get over the fact, I believe, that Christ wasn't going to conquer Rome, that Christ came for a heavenly kingdom, not of this world. Number three, Judas was a frenemy of Jesus. A frenemy, not an enemy, totally. He hung out with him. Not really a friend either. He's a mixture of both. He was somebody who was not quite on Christ's side in the beginning, but not quite against him. He hung around Christ, enjoyed the blessings of Christ, but never truly loved Christ. And eventually, this same person who Christ would call him a friend became his betrayer. This is what a frenemy is today. There's people who may hang out with us, not because they like us per se, but because we're part of a crowd, They're actually envious of us, perhaps. They don't like us. And these same people who we may have called friends always end up being a problem later on. That was Jesus. That was Judas. He was half there, half not. Not passionate for the wrong reasons. Never truly loved the Lord. A frenemy. Matthew 26, 47 through 50. Somebody who has access to our lives that we may even trust them to a certain extent, but they are there to do us harm. Matthew 26, beginning in verse 47. I pray that we truly love the Lord, that we're not half in, half out, that we're not in church because it's a place to be, a place to go. Everybody else is here. I pray we're here because we love the Lord. Matthew 26, beginning in verse 47. And while he was still speaking, behold, Judas, one of the 12, came up, accompanied by a large crowd with swords and clubs, who came from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he who was betraying him gave him a sign, saying, whomever I kiss, he is the one, seize him. These are the people who fake hug us and fake kiss us. These are the people who are not really quite there. They may show and appear that they're on our side, but they're not right on our side. I pray that we are also people who are not fake Christians, that we may give on Sunday. We may talk to people and enjoy things, but we're not really here for the right reasons. Are we truly here? Are we truly a friend of the Lord? Jason, I'm not too sure how you planned that out right, but you sang the perfect song, I'll be a friend to Jesus. Are we truly friends of Jesus? This man was a fake friend. Look what he does. He said, I'm going to kiss him, and that will be the person you take. Immediately, verse 49, Judas went to Jesus and said, Hail, Rabbi. These fake flatterers, be careful of those people, and kissed them. Let us not fake flatter God either. If we're singing praise to God, are we reading those words? Are we singing because he praised God or just saying the words? Is it real? This was a fake praise right here. Hail, Rabbi, and kissed him. And Jesus said to him, Friend, do what you have come for. Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and seized him. Jesus Christ saw right through him. Jesus Christ is very able to see who is real and who is not real. Christ does not want fake friends. He doesn't want fake friends. Indeed, in the book of Revelation, chapter 3, he talks to people who became, if you will, fake followers. Chapter 3, Revelation, verse 15. Here's what happens, really. You know, he may have tolerated it around Judas' time, but please understand that if we are fake Christians, if we are fake friends of Christ and not real friends of Christ, he tells the people of Laodicea, this church here, he says, be one way or the other. Be hot or be cold. Stop being halfway. He says, I know your deeds, that you are neither hot nor cold. You're neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were cold or hot. I wish you were one way or the other. It's halfway stuff. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. This is what happened. I compare it to going to McDonald's and thinking you have a hot coffee. You put it in your mouth and it's lukewarm and it's nasty. Or thinking you have a cold cup of milk. You put it in your mouth and it's room temperature. It's nasty. We don't want things lukewarm if we don't know it's lukewarm. It's either there or not there. That's what Christ wants for us. If we're here, be 100%. Be real. Be passionate. Don't be fake. Love the Lord. The Bible says you love God with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind, all of your strength. Let's be a friend to Jesus, not a frenemy to him. Finally, last but not least, Judas ultimately could not get over his own guilt. At some point, even this bad person recognized, I betrayed the Son of God. God, who I thought I was serving, I betrayed his very purpose. I betrayed why he came. And Judas never, ever forgave himself. He never did. I imagine he could not forgive himself because he could not imagine God forgiving him. That's a complex. That's an issue. There are many people today who don't forgive themselves. Hence, they don't believe God can forgive them. If we are not forgiven in God, we are not complete as Christians. If we are living our lives carrying a guilt upon ourselves. We are not complete as Christians. Jesus Christ died to get rid of our guilt. Jesus Christ died for our sins. So what is getting in the way of having God forgive us? What is getting in the way of having us forgive ourselves? I had a whole sermon about this, and I think to a certain extent, we have to simply accept Christ's love. We have to believe that we can be forgiven of all of our sins, that we can have our guilt wiped away. But there's another thing as well. I find that people who can't forgive themselves, they themselves can't forgive others. I'll say it again. Oftentimes, people who can't forgive themselves, they themselves can't forgive others. It is very important that we as Christians develop and practice a forgiving nature, that we try to forgive people. Because the Bible is very, very clear, if we don't forgive other people, God cannot forgive us. It may very well be true God hasn't forgiven us. We may be saying to ourselves, why do I have this guilt? Why do I not feel forgiven? What's wrong with me? Well, let me ask you a question. Have you forgiven the people in your life? That might be the issue. Because the Bible is very, very clear. If we don't forgive the people, God cannot forgive us. And guys, if God can't forgive us, we are undermining the very reason why Christ came. I want Christ to forgive my sins. I want to be free of guilt. And Judas, who I imagine was a thief, not a good person, I imagine there are many people he couldn't forgive. And so when the time came for him to forgive himself, couldn't do it, never did, took his own life. And unfortunately, I had the reading of Peter. I had Peter's read, the story of Peter read today. Because Peter did the same thing Judas did. Again, there's no little sin or big sin. Peter also betrayed Christ. But Peter was forgiven. Peter was brought back into the fold. Judas never, ever could. Whether it be guilt or something else, without Christ's help, something will crush us. It might be guilt, okay? But without the power of Christ, something in our life will crush us. When I read Mark 11, 23 to 26, I always said to myself, how can this verse apply to me? It seems so crazy, this verse. It seems so far away. But as I live and get older and older, I recognize this verse applies to our lives today. Mark 11, 23 to 26. And Jesus answers, saying to them as we close, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Truly, I say to you, whoever says this mountain be taken up and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen, it will be granted him. I thought it was talking about mountains all my life. I said, what's the purpose? It may be really cool to move a mountain, but what's the purpose of it? And thus far, nobody has done this before in the history of mankind. Nobody's ever moved a mountain before, so why is this verse in there? Well, as I get older, I began to realize more and more, as I dealt with mountainous sins, as I overcame mountainous addictions, as I dealt with mountainous problems in my emotions, as I walked through mountainous problems that would have crushed me, that were crushing me, I realize now I know why I have this verse. I can say to guilt, I can say to sadness, I can say to addiction, move away in Jesus' name. And guess what? It has happened. I can tell you in my life, I have done this miracle. It exists. Because much more of a miracle to me, I can move a mountain, who cares? I can take Mount Everest and move it away. I don't care. I still have my problems. I still have my addictions. I still have my sins. And these things are crushing me. But in my life, I have said to these mountains, be gone in the name of Jesus. Be gone. And they've left, including guilt. I wish Judas had overcome that. Somebody had to betray Christ. But Judas didn't have to. I don't believe Judas had to go away and end his life that way. I believe he could overcome that. Mark 11 carries on. Therefore I say to you, verse 24, all things which you pray for and ask, believe that you have received them and they will be granted to you. Watch how Christ links this to what we're saying here. Watch how Christ links this. Somehow, in the same analogy, he says, whenever you stand praying, forgive. If you have anything against anyone, so that your Father who's in heaven will also forgive you your transgressions. Why is forgiveness linked to moving mountains? Why is that together? I think it's all the same discussion, guys. Sin, forgiveness, guilt, depression. Verse 26, but if you do not forgive, neither will your Father who is in heaven forgive your transgressions. It's all linked together for a reason. Take these things and say, be gone in Jesus' name. Judas, because he did not ever love Jesus, could not do that and was crushed. We all have things in our lives that will crush us without the Lord. And I pray, therefore, we can avoid the Judas complex, that we can do good in small things, that we can make Christ who he is, not who we want him to be, that we can be a friend to Jesus, not a frenemy to him. And then last but not least, be free of all the horrible mountains that are trying to crush us in our lives. Let's avoid these things and follow Christ. The Bible says if we believe in him, if we repent for our sins and are baptized in the name of Jesus, we will be saved. Please think of these things as we stand and sing.